Everybody wants to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep your love. I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne.
A lyrical analysis of, let me check my computer really quick. Okay, it's working. Kanye West.
My name is Chris Lambert.
My name is Travis Bean, and I'm a very embarrassed person today because Chris and I just recorded about 50 minutes of a podcast episode for this show, and at the very end of it, I realized that I had not been washed in the blood and had committed a very terrible mistake.
Yeah, all of our deep insights and realizations about wash us in the blood gone down the drain.
But now I'm asking the Lord to wash me in the blood. Like, please forgive me of my sins. Redeem me. Let this episode be better than we thought it ever could have been.
Which, hopefully it is, you know? I mean, it is the worst day ever still. So, I think we're gonna be good. But this is exciting. We have a new Kanye song, the first of 2020. And in a lot of ways, it feels like a return to a scope and scale that maybe we hadn't gotten from Kanye in the last few projects. I feel like there's a lot of excitement right now.
Yeah. And you said this is the first song from Kanye in 2020. As far as I'm concerned, it's the first song of 2020.
I've still been a couple jams, but yeah, I feel like this is what I've been waiting for. I haven't been this excited. I've heard some catchy songs, you know, where I'm just like, that's fucking catchy, but not anything like this where I'm like, whoa, what an experience.
Well, it's been a while since we got a single ahead of an album from Kanye, period. Like, yay, Kitsy Goes, Jesus Is King. Like, we got all those songs day of. You have to go back to 2016 for Life of Pablo. To when we got a song like before an album came out. Like, this is fun.
What did we even get before Pablo came out? Was it just Facts? Oh no, we got Facts, Real Friends. Yeah. No More Parties in LA, 30 Hours.
30 Hours, yeah. So yeah. Like a third of the album.
yeah, but I was honestly surprised. So, okay, where were you when you first heard the song?
Okay, like, so I'm going to tell the story again. And I told it in the YouTube video already, and I told it on this podcast already, but no one's ever going to hear that. So here we go. I was arranging to be back at my apartment today at 10 a.m. for the drop being of the new music video. I woke up real early. I was pretty tired, but feeling good. Went on a run real early and was arranging to be back at 9 o'clock so I could shower, eat breakfast, and be ready for the video at 10 o'clock. What I did not realize is that the video was dropping at 9 o'clock. 10 yeah. Eastern, 9 Central.
Yeah, you're in that central time zone.
Unfortunately. So I was literally walking into my apartment as I was watching the music video, like as it premiered, listening to it on my shittier running headphones, and it was not ideal listening conditions or viewing conditions, really. It was a strange first experience of the song. And as we talked about on the forever deleted episode, that the original version of the song wasn't quite the same, was maybe a little bit unfinished. So, like, you know, all those factors going into my first listen of the song, like, weren't exactly great. And I wasn't sure how I felt about the song from the get go. I don't know about you, how you felt.
I'm somebody that goes to bed very late at night. If you follow us on Twitter, you're probably aware of that. Or if you watch YouTube videos, you're probably like, this guy uploaded a video at 3 a.m. So I set an alarm for like 8:40 and 8:57. And the 8:41 woke up. And the 8:57 was just supposed to be like an emergency. But I probably fell back asleep. I think I texted you something. And then 8:57, I woke up. Maybe it was at 8:57 I texted you, like, do the Twitter, record a video. Like,
Yeah.
I'm going to watch and go back to sleep. And it almost felt like a fever dream just because the music video is so eclectic and such a barrage of images that part of me was like laying in bed still with the covers kind of like pulled up over my head, looking at my phone, just being like, what am I watching right now? And the music itself is kind of trippy and like, I don't know if atonal is the right word, but it just was sending me for kind of a little bit of a ride. And I liked what I was hearing and seeing because it's very striking. It just wasn't, I wasn't sure what to expect.
Yeah. I mean, it's striking from the get-go because, like, we should know this about Kanye at this point, that he never, every time he makes new music, it doesn't sound like anything else that he's made. Like, he's always reinventing himself. But I think both you and I had this expectation of whatever Wash Us in the Blood was going to be, it was going to sound like Jesus Is King, because we think of Kanye, he's trending toward gospel music, he's finding his faith again, his connection with God. Like, he's just on this kick now, and he's going to make music like we heard in Jesus Is King that adheres to gospel, like, is its own thing, but generally adheres to what gospel music is as we know it to be. That is such a stupid assumption, because of course the song is nothing like anything on Jesus Is King. Like, the closest thing, the closest thing it comes to is like the production on Close on Sunday. But even then, it doesn't really sound like Close on Sunday at all. Like, there's a general like lightness to Close on Sunday that really is not present in this song. Like, this song is synthy, I don't know about grungy, but like kind of chaotic. Like, it definitely has those Yeezus vibes, and everyone seems to be pointing that out. Like, everyone recognizes that there's like an aggression and like a brooding, caged anger that's like within the song.
Yeah, you talk about Closed on Sunday, and Closed on Sunday, there is like a similar like tone to both songs, like literal like sonic tones, not like emotional tones. But Closed on Sunday really does feel like you're walking through an enchanted woods, and it's maybe a little scary, but there's like fairies about kind of going around, and you're like, what is this? But not that there's like a witch or a monster in the woods, just like they're magical creatures, but not anything like quite as dangerous. It almost feels like if you took Closed on Sunday and Cella and rammed them together and then brought in Yeezus, right? And I was comparing it on Twitter to having that same edge that On-Site, Feedback, Freestyle 4, and there was one other one, all kind of share with this little bit of that grungy intensity. But I think, yeah, we were talking about, well, it's gospel music. Like, Kanye is a gospel artist now, but I feel like he's actually redefining himself to, it's not gospel music, it's biblical. And yeah, that's the big difference to me, because while the gospel takes the praise portions of the Bible, I feel like the Bible itself isn't that, right? There is praise, but it's also a very dramatic
some dark shit.
Yeah, book. Like, there's murder, there's war, there's battles, there's like all the negative aspects of humanity countered by these brilliant aspects of humanity and what God offers and all of that. And on Jesus Is King, Kanye stuck a bit more towards the gospel aspect of things, but he's such an epic artist overall, and I think really drawn to the darker aspects of not just like the human soul and psyche, fame, but also darker iconography and more of the epic quality of those things. So it makes sense in hindsight that he would be drawn to not just the gospel elements, but the biblical elements, and be bringing in that tone to where this song's essentially like Book of Revelation made into music. Like, a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Like, that's such a biblical way to open this song, and the blood raining down on everybody, washing over them. Like, that's that epic Kanye shit that I think is amazing, and he's taking the Bible and gospel and doing Kanye things with them.
Yeah, and honestly, when you really think about it, and you don't just think of like the surface aspects of gospel music, when we think of Kanye's journey over the past few years and him quoting Bible passages and the way he's altered, the way he acts, like the way he, the energy he's putting out in the world, like, it really isn't surprising that this is the direction Kanye's gone. like when the Bible ultimately is this tale of humanity, like you were listing, like the good and the bad of humanity clashing and like what the result is. And everything about this song seems to be channeling that, from the music video to like the lyrics to just the general sound of it. Like the music has all these images. It starts off an image of people battling police, or, you know, there's like some sort of verbal confrontation going on, and eventually it filters out into like people dancing and having fun, but also people like fighting each other and people driving cars into each other. Like there's like general chaos going on, and it's getting at this idea that like chaos from the top eventually filters out to chaos throughout society, and what happens to people when like there's oppression and when there's, you know, when the legal system and the government is working against you, like all of these things that happen to the world. And ultimately, like, how do you fix it? Like, well, you look to God. Like, God is the savior. God can redeem us. God can guide you. And I think that's the energy Kanye's on, where, you know, back on Yeezus, he crafted this character who thought he could fix the world. But now that Kanye's given up his ego and given up that Yeezus side of himself, like, he's looking to God now and asking God, like, can you wash us in the blood? Like, can you fix us? It's a very different energy, and I think that gets at what the title of the album probably alludes to, God's country. Like, God's country could allude to his home, like the Wyoming, the micro, but also the macro, like this world that's resulted in what's resulted from everything that's happened. And like, and Kanye himself, like trying to like maneuver within that and thinking like, what can God do to help us?
Yeah, there's something larger than just Wyoming, right? When Blake Shelton sang God's Country, it was a song about like Wyoming or just that area and the landscape and the beauty of that land. But I think when Kanye's using God's Country, as you just said, he's getting at much more the macro, at the societal, and looking at maybe a bit of the tension between what this is supposed to be and what it has become. And how do we get back closer to the ideal than where we're at right now?
Yeah, which is interesting because, I mean, of course, Kanye's always thinking about the macro. Like, he's always thinking about how he can help people and how he fits into the world. But the last three albums, Ye, Kitsy Ghost, Jesus Is King, like, they're pretty micro albums. Like, they're very intimate, internal journeys that we're experiencing.
Yeah, and for him to finally zoom back out, that's something that I feel like I've said a lot on the show, but that Kanye tends to like explore the micro and then take what he learned and go macro with it. Like, you look at College Dropout and Late Registration as him kind of gaining some perspective on releasing albums, like perfecting that pop sound, and then he throws out Graduation, which just kind of takes that to the next level of stadium music, right? This isn't just radio music. This is stadium music. And then he reduces back to the micro with 808s and Heartbreak and goes very minimal again before coming back with My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, which is much more macro. Back to Yeezus, which is micro, to Life of Pablo, which is macro. Then you start into Ye, Kids See Ghosts, Jesus Is King. It feels like we're due for Kanye to finally go maximal again, macro again.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you can never predict what direction Kanye is going to go, but that does seem to be the case where, like, you know, you get something like 808s, which is very brooding and intimate, and then next step is My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy and Yeezus. Like, this explosion, like, bringing all those issues that are, like, brimming beneath 808s and Heartbreaks and, like, casting them into this fantastical tale. Like, you kind of wonder if that's what God's Country is going to be. I envisioned Wash Us in the Blood as more of an album track. Like, to me, it reminds me a lot of New Slaves and this idea of a guy looking around him and seeing everything that's wrong in the world and thinking, like, how can we fix this? And then, like, the next step is the rest of the album.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer günstig und natürlich mit dem Aldi Tiefpreisversprechen. Zum Beispiel knackiges Gemüse, saftiges Obst, frische Backwaren. Kurz gesagt, mehr Frische für alle. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote zum Tiefpreis in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Right, and that difference, as you said before, like on New Slaves, Kanye thought he could fix it. But now, because that ego's gone, he's hoping God can fix it and save everybody. The music video really jumped out to me because, I mean, one, the images are so startling, but I feel like this is a level of film that we haven't seen Kanye operate on. Like, Kanye has always loved movies, right? And so many of his albums or music videos, from College Dropout on up to 808s, I would say, were very, like, blockbustery or movie-like in their nature of just being very narrative-driven. But then 808s, I feel like he started to get much more like film school, much more like cinema driven, and started making like more art house caliber music videos, peaking really with Famous and Fade, where he's getting like really avant-garde with it. But Arthur Jaffa isn't necessarily a movie theater or like film school filmmaker. Even though he went to film school, or has a degree in film, but he makes visual art that's usually played in museums, right? Which is a whole different style of filmmaking than if you're putting something in a movie theater or on Netflix. And you can really see that difference in this video, where it's more chaotic, more striking, that you really have to be moved by the individual images, but you aren't really guided along about how to follow along with the flow of those images and what that means, which ends up causing a lot of, you have to have a lot of confrontation or a lot of interaction with the clip or the video in order to get the most out of it. But it can really hit on that visceral level. And I've really enjoyed having that companion to the song, because it feels like that style really fits with the production.
Yeah, I mean the music video so clearly coincides with the song, which is maybe why we haven't gotten music videos in a while, like, because Kanye's always mixing his albums up to the last second, like of Ye and Jesus Is King. Like, we would never get a music video ahead of an album because the songs have never been done up until the day the album's done. So it seems like, and I know it looks like Arthur Jaffa had an earlier version of the song for his music video, but he essentially had the song and was able to structure it and edit it so it coincided with the song. And I think it really, to me, it helped guide me a little bit on what the song was about, because you see all these images of people just like trying to exist and all of the weird emotions and conflicts that come out of that, like when you feel oppressed and you feel like you've been betrayed by like the man, like by the macro of society, that like what that causes people to do in the micro communities that they're in. It made me look at the song that way, and Kanye looking at everybody as somebody who's not in that Jesus mode anymore and who is just looking to God to wash us in the blood and to help us, the kind of helplessness that comes with that. And not even help us to send a bad way. Just like that's what it's like for everybody. Like, you can't truly do anything about all these problems in the world other than like put good energy out in the world and try to rub that good energy off on other people and hope it spreads. Like, that's all you can really do. That's really what preaching the word of God is all about. And the music video really channels that. And like, I think that's great that Kanye finally, for the first time in a while, like had a song ready way ahead of time and like coincided with somebody who's very visual. Because I think of Kanye as a very visual person. Like, even when he writes songs and produces his songs, like they always have this cinematic narrative energy to it. And they're always part of a bigger whole, like a album long narrative. So I'm so glad that he finally worked with somebody ahead of time to build something like this, because it really did guide my mind and how to read the story of the song. And then as a result, I assume this will fit into a much larger story on an album long narrative.
Yeah, I had earlier on our previous attempt at recording brought up the point that I was wondering how much of the video was purely Arthur Jaffa bringing in the societal elements to it and maybe taking a song that wasn't as focused on society and making it more so just based on the flow of images he chose to show us. But I talked myself out of that doubt because even though most of the footage here is used footage or discovered footage, or I don't know how you want to describe that, taken, borrowed footage, you have the original footage of Kanye struggling with that black mask that's going on and off of him. And because Kanye is involved in the video and it's not just Arthur Jaffa putting images over the music, I think that points way more to Kanye being part or them working together on the idea that and trying to form it around what the song is saying, being that this is about society and this is what influences people. And you even have that reinforced in those lines of whole life being thugs, no choice selling drugs, genocide, what it does, slavery, what it does. Like, this is the impact of the situation that we're forced to be in, what you're saying about that, like, top-down pressure. So to have that societal aspect reinforced and the chaos of that reinforced through the images is really helpful and really powerful. I like it a lot.
Yeah, and you had an interesting theory about the mask Kanye's wearing in the video.
Yeah, I mean, I think you immediately jump to the Kanye Margiela mask. From the Yeezus tour that he would wear all the time, and he's wearing that mask throughout like four of the five acts of the concert, and it's not until he's about to start the fifth act and he's been redeemed in ways that the mountain that's been on stage that resembles like the height of fame, and the higher you climb up on the mountain the more that you have, splits open and Jesus comes walking through the mountain, and Kanye kneels down and Jesus like blesses him, and Kanye takes the mask off for the first time in the show, and Jesus goes walking away, and then Kanye sings the final songs leading into Bound 2, and the concert ends with a repetition of he'll give us what we need, it may not be what we want, enforcing or reinforcing the fact that this was a journey that God wanted Kanye to go on in order to give Kanye what he needed, or Jesus what he needed. So the mask represents then some of the ugliness and ego and materialism that Kanye had at that time that he then takes off at the end when he's been kind of renewed and redeemed. I do wonder if the mask is kind of getting at that, or even if you don't want to take it right to Jesus and this struggle with having that mask on, taking it off, but just even getting at the societal elements and who society wants me to be versus who I am, which you can point to directly in the song, the calm Ye lyrics. They don't want me to Kanye. They don't want me to be Kanye. They want to sign a fake Ye. They're trying to sign a calm Ye. That's right. I call him calm Ye. I wonder then if that mask going over his face is supposed to be that, like them not wanting him to be Kanye, but whoever they want him to be. It looks like Kanye, but it's not.
Yeah. And it's definitely partly that, like this larger commentary on society and the way, you know, people try to control you to be. But it also, I think, just gets at the internal journey too, because that mask, you know, the Margiela mask, I'm thinking the way Kanye looks in the video, the Washes in the Blood video, reminds me most of Black Skinhead. And the energy Kanye's channeling in that song, and how Kanye, that to me is also a pretty powerful symbol, the idea that the mask is washing away in this Washes in the Blood video, that Kanye isn't just saying that he's not going to be controlled by people, that he's not going to be this person. Like, he's also looking internally, saying like, I'm not going to be Jesus. Like, I'm going to give myself over to God. I'm going to relinquish my ego and not be the one that tries to control everything in society and tries to fix everybody. Like, I can't fix anything. Like, I have to give myself over to God, and I have to ask God to help us. Like, I have to get people to look to God to help us. I am just part of this bigger whole. And that to me is like the big takeaway I get from Kanye between this song and Jesus is King. It's like Kanye finally recognizes that like he is, whatever is going to fix these problems we're facing, like it's not just one person that can do it. Like we all need to work together, and like we all need to recognize the pains we're causing each other, and like the conflict that's like we can fix ourselves within, and that's the way to fix it. Like we can't rely on the government and the police to the fix things. Like we have to.
There's something very empowering about that.
Yeah.
When I showed my wife the video, her main focus was on the clips from Grand Theft Auto. She was like, is he trying to say that the world's becoming like Grand Theft Auto? Which really gave me pause, because it is curious given the fact that Kanye has talked about the simulation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that we're kind of in a simulation. Here you see almost a simulated face going over his own. I do wonder if there's a little bit of that video game element, and like people are treating like this world just like it's Grand Theft Auto, like it's a video game. You could just do crazy shits, and this is why we need to be washed in the blood to get everything kind of back to a different perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. We'd have to get him on the show and ask him.
That's right. Arthur, Kanye, hop to it. The thing that also jumped out to me is when I watched the music video, I really thought it was cool that we had at the end the gospel come in, and you have the scene of the Sunday service practice and North dancing. It felt like a very purposeful and poignant undercutting of the like biblical aspects of this and the tension of that and kind of the ugliness in the production, to then cut away to the gospel. Like it reminded me of just Yeezus, where you have that exact thing where so much of the album is harsh, 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 harsh. No music, no melody until you get to Bound 2, which finally gives you the music and the sense of release. I thought we were having something similar here. It was kind of startling to me then when I listened to the actual digital version of the song. And that just didn't exist. It just ended shortly after Kanye said the final lines.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Again, I think that's just another moment of Kanye. There's a difference between like the visual, you know, the music video and like the song that's going to exist on an album. Like the video needs to convey like a bunch of ideas, like in a vacuum, whereas the song kind of belongs on an album and it's part of a larger narrative. So that isn't too surprising to me that Kanye would do that. But yeah, I love this song front to back. I love the way it builds and ends. Like the way it starts out is incredible. Like with that guy just quoting the Bible verse and Devour coming in like really loud, and it launches into this like quietly chaotic synth, and the drums come in, and then it pulls back a little bit, that comes back in full force, and Kanye's like really aggressive. And there's so many elements of this that remind me of like classic Kanye, yet I don't think we've really gotten this version of Kanye since probably like The Life of Pablo. Like of any Kanye song, it reminds me the most of like Freestyle 4. I mean, obviously parts of Yeezus, like the bigger, more aggressive, blown up parts, but also just kind of the quietly aggressive parts of The Life of Pablo, like Feedback and Freestyle 4. It's just a very different version of Kanye that I'm ready for.
Yep, very much so. Actually, the first thing it made me think of was God Level, which was the unreleased song from late 2014, 2015. I think it was supposed to be the song for the like World Cup or Olympics or something. World Cup. And I remember hearing it in the commercials being like, oh, this is going to be awesome. Like, I can't wait. And then it never came out. And I feel like it has that same quality of the God Level, Piss on Your Grave, Slave Name kind of beats and style to it that Kanye never actually fully embraced. And to finally have that song come to fruition, it feels like a long time in the making, with Feedback and Freestyle 4 and maybe even Father Stretch My Hands Part 2 almost toying with the idea or implementing it, but in a smaller way. And now he's finally turned it into this finished song that's really striking and really hitting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Kanye, yeah, he's definitely been trying to channel the energy for a while, but this does feel like the first time, like, he finished a song, which I think is the complaint a lot of people have about Kanye, is, like, a lot of his songs feel unfinished or that, like, it never got to the place he wanted it to get to. Like, this song's ready. Like, it's ready to go. Arthur Jaffa had it ahead of time. Like, they, you know, tinkered with it a bit, but, like, this to me sounds like a fully finished song. Like, all of Kanye's lines are really clear. It's very dramatic. Like, it has a very purposeful structure. Like, I don't know. And we get Travis Scott. I mean, shit.
Yeah. How'd you feel about the Travis Scott feature?
I love it. I mean, I love Travis Scott, and I know people are complaining that they wish there was more Travis Scott, which I get, but to me, this is how Kanye uses features now, you know? Like, unless you're Kendrick Lamar on No More Parties in LA, you don't get a full verse. Like, even Clips's verse on Uses Gospel, like, is a, like, it's not like a shitload of bars or anything. This to me feels like a very purposeful use of a feature where Travis Scott comes in and, like, adds, like, an extra oomph to the song. Like, it doesn't feel out of place. It feels like he comes in and he's saying, you know, like, he's building himself up, and then he has, like, a few lines. And this is why I love Kanye, because he doesn't need somebody to be a full-fledged feature like we classically know hip-hop features to be. He's using people the way he needs them. He's using people so that they help build the energy and story of a song, as opposed to, like, verse, chorus, guest verse, you know, like the classic way. Like, he's kind of minimal in that way, that he's just, like, using people, what he needs from people. And I think it works for this song. Like, I think Travis comes in, like, it's dramatic. He's talking about, you know, execution in 30 states and how it can feel like the whole system is against you. It's, like, just enough for me that it works.
Yeah. It was one of the things where I wasn't sure how the feature would be used, and I kind of forgot it was going to happen as I started listening. Like, and I'd obviously saw that it was featuring Travis Scott, but when he finally came in, I'm not typically big on N-line ad-libs, especially, like, the Migos style N-line ad-libs. They start to get really frustrating to me. But what Travis Scott does here with his ad-libs that he has in the front half of this verse, I thought really slid in well with the production elements. Yeah. Like, it was a softer aspect to it, or a more melodic aspect to the production that nothing else had. So he really, like, brought an energy that I thought caused the song to take on that extra glow to it. And then, especially when his verse or half verse kind of takes over, just the whole energy vibe he had there was perfect, I thought, for it. And puts a lot of emphasis then. I know people complain that it's short, but I think it also emphasizes then what he says. Like, execution 30 states, 30 states still execute. Like, that's one of the most, I think, important lines in the whole track.
Yeah. And again, I think it's, at this point with Kanye, like, his features are very purposeful and they're meant to convey something very specific. Like, we think about Ty Dolla $ign and how he represents this kind of Yeezus energy on Ye, and, like, there's a storyline with Ty Dolla $ign's verses. Like, there's so much more to people being on the way Pusha T's used on Feel the Love. Is that what that sounds called? Feel the Love?
Yeah.
Why am I blanking on that? Like, people come in knowing, like, that's what Kanye wants from them. Like, here's the story. Here's where you come into the story. And, like, this is what you do. I can only imagine that this is the same case of this song.
Agreed. I think it's one of the things, I don't think we talked about it in this version of the recording yet, but the mixing on the actual single version or streaming version of the song is way different than the video version, which, if people only watch the video, I can't imagine somebody's only watched the video and then listened to this. Like, I feel like anybody that's listening to this has to have also listened to just the streaming version of the song. But the differences in the mix is really startling and points to the fact that you were saying earlier that like Jaffa had the song earlier in order to put it together and still has that mixed version, because man, just the difference in the production and how it hits and Kanye's vocals. I'm not usually one to complain about like in quotes poor mixing, because it's just not something I think about or care about that much, but this is one of the times where actually the difference was very striking.
Yeah. So I should go back and listen to the YouTube version just to see what the big difference is. But I mean, I will say I remember listening to it initially, not knowing how I felt about it, and then kind of being blown away by my first official listen on like Bose headphones and everything. Like I was sold in the song immediately.
That was the video again or the stream?
No, the stream, the digital download.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Then go back and watch the video again with and be like, ew.
Yeah, maybe.
Ew. Anything else then? Any other thoughts?
The only last thing I wanted to re-include in this episode was you noticed some unreleased tracks on the Genius page that could be part of God's Country, right?
Oh, yeah. Because we were talking in the first time about where this might be on the album. Did this feel like an opener? Did this feel like it would be in the same spot as New Slaves? Did it feel like it would be more climactic, like Runaway, like, or a closer? Like, where would this be? And I scrolled down on the Genius page, and God's Country had four songs total listed: Wash Us in the Blood, Black Vietnam, Superman, and Ambitious, which I hadn't heard about any of those.
No.
And what's interesting is A Roaring Lion Walketh About Seeking Whom He May Devour is actually from the Bible about the devil. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And this Ambitious song has lyrics from a snippet that I guess people have heard that says, won't until it take me, the devil weak, the devil weak. Devil thought I bought her a ceiling. I've been back from addiction. I done beat they prediction. So just a little continuity between those songs. And then Black Vietnam sounds like it's epic enough to be a follow-up to Wash Us in the Blood. And there was actually a post on R. Yandy Leaks back 1 month ago, Pouring Syrup, said Lupe Fiasco just said in a new IG Live that he might be open to doing features for other artists again, and the first on his list is for Kanye's new album on a track called Black Vietnam. And they added an edit that said, apparently Lupe approached Kanye with the track around 2013, and it was considered but eventually scrapped. Now Kanye has reached out to Lupe about finalizing the concept and track for his new album.
In 2013 is the year Yeezus came out. Kanye got this idea from Lupe, didn't think it was quite right then, but now thinks it's perfect for God's Country. I mean, the story's written right there.
Yeah, the like biblification of Yeezus is fascinating. And really, if Kanye is like continuing to kind of counter or put into some kind of new perspective everything from Yeezus, I'm there for it.
Totally. And you totally get that from this song. Like, it isn't, this song isn't as unleashed as Yeezus
is. There's smoke in the bedroom. Oh. The alarm may sound.
1 second.
The alarm is loud.
Oh, wow. Alexa's trying to get into the conversation. God, I guess I could just sit here and keep talking. That would be weird, though, right? If it was just me. Although, I guess there was an episode where Chris just talked all on his own. It was after my car accident. Did you know I was in a car accident? I was in a car accident once and was very incapacitated. The show was down for a few weeks, actually. And Chris, I just remember there was an episode where Chris did all on his own. And it was very strange. It's not as strange to see him doing it on the YouTube video. There's something more natural about that. But to hear the podcast episode just all on his own, ranting, rambling, doing his Chris thing, that was different. But what I was going to say about this is that it sounds like Yeezus, but like a caged version of Yeezus. Like Yeezus is unleashed, somebody who's kind of let loose. He's a maniac. He he's out in the world, he's trying to fix everything, where this is like, this really feels like a song where Kanye's kind of taking stock. Oh, you're here.
Yeah.
I was just, I just continued talking because who gives a fuck?
Okay.
I was basically just saying that Yeezus is like kind of unleashed, where the song really feels caged and suppressed in a way. Like Kanye's really looking at everything and kind of feels helpless. And yeah, to me, that's the big difference between this and Yeezus, is that Yeezus, you know, the ego's unleashed, but in this, the ego's doesn't exist. Like, he's given himself over and he's just, I don't know, there's a weird tension that comes from something like that, I guess.
Yeah, which I'm excited to explore further on the entirety of God's Country.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Really fun to do. I thought we'd get a nice little break after Jesus is King, but I guess not.
Yeah, it seemed like we were going to have, I don't know, months of just some relaxation.
Maybe a whole year.
Yeah, not doing line-by-line analysis after 5 years of doing line-by-line analysis, but... so it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes. But, and what was your favorite part of Wash Us in the Blood?
I mean, it's all so good, but like, I think part of me, I love new Ye, but like, I love these little snippets of old Ye, like the goofiness, the cheesiness. So, like, they want to sign a fake Kanye. They're trying to sign a calm Ye. That's right. I call him Kanye. Like, the fact that he says, "That's right, I call him Kanye." Like, he's almost saying out loud to us, like, yeah, this is dumb. But, like, it's dumb, but also, like, smart. Like, Kanye is, like, one of the few people I know that, like, does that really well. Where a lot of people complain about, you know, like, the cringe lyrics and quotes on Jesus is King. But as you and I went through all the lyrics on Jesus is King, like, there's so much meaning and nuance and... there's so many double entendres, triple entendres that, like, there's always something deeper to it. And, like, calm Ye, Kanye denying being calm Ye, like, it just gets at his entire, like, mantra and persona. Like, there's so much more to it than, like, the dumb, goofy line that makes me laugh.
Yeah, right? You can just laugh at the dumb, goofy line, but also appreciate the depth. The depth.
I love it. How about you?
My favorite part ends up being just where it ends. Like, the whole song builds up to repeating that chorus of whole life being thugs, no choice, selling drugs, genocide, what it does, slavery, what it does. And it puts an emphasis on slavery, what it does, in a way that almost feels... I feel like redemptive is a weird word to use in this, because on the one hand, I think Kanye deserved criticism and flack for how he spoke at TMZ. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I do think what he was trying to say was taken way out of context and misquoted over and over again, where he's trying to talk about slavery existing in America in some form for 400 years, whether it's physical slavery, mental slavery, financial slavery, like the slavery to materialism and all the stuff that we've praised him for talking about in terms of All Falls Down and New Slaves and where it seems like society is at with power dynamics and the power struggle and the classism that we have and all this stuff that you can get into about capitalism, right? So for Kanye to have that word be such a taboo thing for him to say in 2018... and to the point where he ended up having to cut a reference or just use of the word on Ye just to avoid the controversy of it, for him to 2 years later be coming back to it and saying it with such confidence and saying it in a way that lacks the controversy,
right,
but in a way that people can understand and agree with and that seems far more poignant now because of everything that's gone on in the last 2 years. I think that that's like incredibly powerful and fascinating, just from like, it's powerful within the work of art itself, but it's also fascinating when you know the artist and what that line then means, not just as a statement within the work, but as a statement from the artist.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's why we love Kanye as an artist. Like, I mean, we love Kanye, the real Kanye too. but we know like what comes with that. Like, he's not always the best communicator. Like, he's very off the cuff. But a song like this, like, you're totally right. Like, this says everything that All Falls Down, New Slaves, like this idea of being mentally enslaved and like succumbing to the system. And I mean, it's all there. Like, that last line is so powerful.
Yep. Is that it? Are we done?
That we did it. Yeah, that was fun to do a second time.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody for bearing with us, but you didn't have to hear the first one, so you're welcome for us doing it a second time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I'm thinking we should just do it a third time.
Oh, don't you even. Don't you even, because I'm about to go from this right to the YouTube video, so.
Oh, gosh. How are you going to handle it?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But we'll be back as there's more information, content, especially when God Country drops. You can stay tuned to us for all your Kanye podcasting content and insight and discussion. And if you can't wait for the podcast, you can find us at Kanye Podcast and at TL_Bean on Twitter, on YouTube, Watching the Throne Kanye Podcast. And you can also subscribe to our Patreon and get all of our old episodes, as well as the mini seasons we're doing, with the current one being Kanye Hot Takes.
Yeah, and me talking about Clazy.
Oh yeah, Travis and Lauren have been doing Clazy news, so you can listen to all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, well, stay wavy.
Yeah, and keep it loopy.
Remember to wash. And they ask me, I tell them, raise your glasses to the sky. This is the last call for out.